Hallelujah. How many is excited? You're part of a new creation. Something that never existed before. A new Genesis, if you'll allow me. Now we'll be turning to Exodus. I know you're excited. Chapter 32. But we're still teaching out of Ephesians. And what I mean by that, I could read it, I could have you turn there first, but by now you probably know it by heart. Well, no, I just got a correction. We know it by head. And that's the part where we've been quickened together with Him, raised up together with Him, seated together with Him. You know, we have head knowledge of that now, don't we? And if we're seated together with Him, now let's see, we looked in the previous chapter where He is seated at the right hand of God, just a tiny bit above. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, that be enough? But also in that which is to come. Paul says, don't you know you're going to be judging angels? And we go, no. Didn't know that, Paul. What did you teach that we haven't been taught? Well, we have head knowledge of that now. Even during the conference, more than once, through Pastor Dave, and I've learned not to take anything lightly that the Holy Spirit says through Pastor. At least twice he said, isn't it a shame that there's not a switch in the mind that turns on faith? It's not a switch you turn on in your mind. Faith is of the heart, isn't it? So what God's doing now that we've got, at least we've got some head knowledge, at least we know the possibilities, we've got a road map like John the Baptist. Here's a highway. There's a highway of the Lord you need to travel. But now we have knowledge of the highway. What we've got to do now is travel the highway. See? And make that journey from head knowledge to heart faith. Well, in my meditation and prayer over the last day or two, I kept coming to this familiar passage. I know you're going to recognize this, but you seldom ever hear anything taught out of it. For one thing, we'll just read it first, and then we'll talk about it. Exodus chapter 32, starting in verse 7. And the Lord said unto Moses, go and get thee down. For thy people, which thou brought out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed thereunto and said, they said with their mouth, these be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. Now let's make sure we understand what's happening here. My grandchildren and our children when they were young, they talked about a do-over. Y'all know what a do-over is? It's when you do something and you do it wrong. Can I have a do-over? See, and God's done a do-over once already with the human race. He started over again with Noah. Remember that? I mean, he let it go as long as he possibly could. It had gotten down to just one man. He said that God looked over the whole earth. He only found one who still loved God and was still serving God. If he lets that one die, then there's none left of the seed of Adam, none at all, that really have faith in God. So God let it get down really as far as he possibly could. But if he's going to preserve the seed, he had to do it then. So he really did a do-over, started over again with Noah. And by the way, that wasn't just with the human race. All of creation changed. It never rained before that event. the earth was watered with a mist that come up. Well, that tells you there was never a rainbow seen before that event. The sun never really penetrated through the ionization of the atmosphere that happens after rainfall. There's the whole creation changed. We don't know what all happened. God even changed man's diet there. He says, now from this point on, I want you to eat meat. Of course, a lot of people today tell you not to. I'm going to stay with God. I'm telling you the truth. Paul calls that a doctrine of devils, not to eat meat. Be a vegetarian if you want to now, but don't be telling me it's God's plan. You know, if you want to do it for health reasons, God bless you. You know, that's one thing. Well, here in the wilderness, God's really talking about. Now, how many of y'all think God is just, he's really capricious and his emotions control him and he loses his temper? And, you know, does that sound like the love chapter to you? No, God's not. God doesn't change either. He wasn't one way then and another way now. See, this is in here for our benefit. It's in here for doctrine. It's in here for teaching. It's in here to help us understand what happened to us. But now it does say, I mean, God says, all right, he says, look at this bunch. Look how they've rebelled against me. Tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to kill them all. I'm going to wipe them out. And I'm going to start making a new nation with you, Moses, of you. Like he had said to Abraham, Moses, of you. And really, it still wouldn't be a total, you know, Moses, I don't know if he, his mother and his father are of the tribe of Levi. So it still would be a descendant of Abraham. Okay? But anyway, that's another lesson. But anyway, so he says, leave me alone. I'm going to consume them. And I'm going to make out of you a great nation. Now, Moses, you got to understand, is a type and shadow of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, not perfectly, but he's a type and a shadow. I mean, John's gospel will tell you the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. But still, there's a lot of types and shadows about Moses. I mean, here's the whole nation of Israel in bondage to Pharaoh, like the whole human race was in bondage to sin. They couldn't get themselves free no matter what they did. They were absolute slaves. So God sends a deliverer, one man, Moses. He does all of the work through that one man. What could the people do? The people didn't do anything. They didn't do anything to get themselves delivered. All of the work was done by this one man, signs and wonders and all of the things that happened. And eventually he stretches forth his rod and the Red Sea opens. And if you want to get out of this land and go into the promised land, come and follow me. Does that sound like anybody you know of? It's a type and shadow of Jesus. God did all of the work through this one man. We couldn't do anything to save ourselves. He took all of the punishment. He paid all of the work. He did everything that had to be done. Then he says, you want out of this spiritual death? Come and follow me. Go over into the abundant life. Hallelujah. See, type and shadow. All right? So he's saying, and what with Moses, the thing about Moses would obey God. Moses wasn't perfect, but Moses would obey God. God would say this, he'd do it. God would say that, he'd do it. Now, he sometimes, you know, I like it that Moses was human enough, you know, like, you want me to go talk to who? do you understand? I stutter. So God says, well, here's Aaron. He'll talk for you. It's okay. No excuses. No excuses. Delivered his people. All right? But he would obey. But, you know, he would say, who am I going to say sent me? You know, we know how God sounds. We saw Charlton Heston. I am that I am. You know. Moses had questions, but the end result, Moses would obey God. And God's looking at these people here that wouldn't obey him. They're down here, you know, just quickly. While Moses is still up on the mountain, for crying out loud. Now they're worshiping a golden calf and saying, gold delivered us. Sounds like a gospel out here today. Anyway, gold delivered us, you know. We worship gold, this idol. So he says, I want to wipe the whole bunch out and I'm going to start over with you. Because you'll obey me. And I'll make a new people. Maybe they'll be like you. Hang on to that. Maybe they'll be like you. Maybe they'll obey me. But this is going to be, you're going to like this. Okay. Now Moses, he besought the Lord, verse 11. And he said, Lord, Why does thy wrath wax hot against thy people when thou hast brought forth, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, well, for mischief did he bring them out? He brought them out here to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth. Turn away from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. Preview now. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Here Moses is making intercession for the guilty people. Absolutely guilty. And he says, now remember your word. Remember, I'm making intercession for them. All right, and he says, now remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own self. And you said unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. That verse right there is why most people don't teach out of this. God didn't. What he said to Moses, he repented of it. But I know it was never in his heart anyway, not really. He's teaching us through what happened here with Moses, exactly what he was going to do with the one of whom Moses is a type. See, because the whole human race had rebelled against God. The whole human race, all the seed of Adam, whether they be the seed of Abraham or not, the whole seed of Adam had gone into rebellion. You can read about it in Romans 3, 4, and 5 that we've been studying here lately. And, you know, there's none quoting the Old Testament prophet, which they used to quote in Sunday school and Sunday service. There's none righteous. No, not one. You know, you're just an old sinner saved by grace. And really what he was talking about was he was quoting the Old Testament prophet, which was saying it true. There's not a son of Adam. I don't care if you're a Pharisee. I don't care who you are. I don't care. There's none righteous. Everybody has sinned. Everybody has that nature. There's not one. And there wasn't one until Jesus came. Now what God said to Moses, I'm going to kill them all, and I'm going to start over with you, is exactly what he did through Jesus. This is news for your head. I can say it this way, it'll be okay. Jesus didn't come to save you. Jesus came to kill you. And then regenerate you into something you weren't before. He didn't really come to save that old sinner. He came to kill that old sinner. God looks at Jesus and he says, I tell you what we're going to do. In you, we're going to kill the whole bunch. In you, when you die, as far as I'm concerned, my wrath will wax hot against them in you. And I'm going to kill them all. I'm going to consume them. And out of you, I'm going to build a great nation. That's good stuff. That's good stuff. That good stuff. Now, so could God do that and still keep his covenant like Moses prayed with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Israel? Now, turn over to Galatians. Let's go New Testament on this. Galatians chapter 3. Should be real close. Your Bible should just fall open to Ephesians right now. So Galatians is next door. Galatians chapter 3. Now, we got to do this, that type and shadow through Moses. And then Richard's really talking about Jesus. It still has to fulfill what Moses prayed back there. Well, remember your promise. Remember your word to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob. Out of their seed is going to, your promises to them, they're going to inherit everything, this whole land. All right. So Galatians chapter 3 tells us how God did that, how he started over with a brand new species of human, yet he still did it in a way that fulfilled the promise to Abraham. So here it is, Galatians 3, starting in verse 7. Says, know you therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing, so you'll know for sure that it's talking about us, talking about the New Testament believer, talking about people who are not physically descended from Abraham, Notice it says, and the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith. Hello, justified heathen. You weren't born the physical seed of Abraham. But God would justify us through faith. God preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Not just Israel. All nations. It doesn't matter your ethnicity. Doesn't matter the color of your skin. Doesn't matter the shape of your eyes. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you are a child of Abraham. Then it says, so they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. It's a new species spawned from one man. Let's say it another way now. A species spawned by faith. I'm letting it sink in for a minute. Now see, Jesus died for everybody, whether they believe it, whether they don't believe it. You can have two people sit in a good old Southern Baptist service like I tell you one thing, they'll preach hell hot and heaven sweet. And they'll preach the cross. Buddy, by the time they get done with you, you can smell the sulfur. You know, and I mean, you know, it's no doubt. I mean, you heard correctly. You heard correctly. It's your choice. You can either receive Jesus and his atonement and payment for your sins, or you can go to hell and pay for him yourself. Whew. Smell that sulfur coming in the room, you know. Feel the loosen your collars getting hot, you know. But you can have two people sitting there, hear the same truth. One of them hardens his heart and no. No, I will not believe it. I will not believe it. I don't want to change my life. I will not believe it. And the other one who hears it, his heart melts. He opens up. I believe it comes forward at the altar call, bows his knee. Or you could do it at home like I did. But somewhere you got to bow your knee. Humble yourself. And by faith, believe the word of God. By faith, believe the word of God. Believe what God said. Two people hear the same word of God. One believes it and doesn't even really know what happens to him. We're just finding out what happens to you. But you literally get reborn into a new species of human. And the other one, whom Christ died for just as much died for that one as the other one. He won't believe it, walks out unchanged, and is not a child of God. It's amazing that God is generating a new species of human based on faith. Not the act. Not the act that Jesus did. Not the work that Jesus did. That is done for believer and unbeliever alike. What generates the new species is something called faith. Let me show it to you one more time. There, it's in Galatians again. Just go forward. Go Galatians 3:26. For you are all the children of God because of what Jesus did. Is that what it says? See, I used to see this billboard. Sue and I would see it driving down to Houston. And it was during that time when that song was real popular, We Are the Children of the World. And on these billboards, they would have all different people of different colors. And they're different eyes, you know, and they have, you know, round eye like me and slant eye like a beautiful Asian. There'd be, you know, all different tones of skin. And young and old and women and men and trying to get. And the caption at the bottom was, we are all the children of God. And it, you know, at first glance, it just looks so right. And then you come and you read the Bible. It doesn't say that at all. Now it says we are all the creation of God. It tells you right here how you're a child of God. Look at it again. Galatians 3:26. For you are all the children of God, you're part of this new species by faith in Christ Jesus. And it's amazing to me. Now see, this is, I can't emphasize enough how strong this point is that you hang on to this for future lessons. At how I know it, alarm bells go off in me as a teacher. Something goes off in me and says, boy, you better earmark this one. Because it's not what Jesus did. And even as I say that, I hate to say it that way, because it is. But that alone does not cause the regeneration. That's the point. It is faith in what God said about it. Faith in God's report. Faith in God's word. Somehow you believing causes the Holy Spirit to regenerate your spirit from death to life. That is such an important point. It's got the same to do with healing. It's got the same to do with prosperity. It's got the same thing to do with the anointing when you lay hands on the sick. God, that's an important point. Let me say it again. It's not the act itself. Everything that Jesus did, we're going to teach on that even more. Till you, please, Gary, teach on something else. No! Do you know Paul stayed in Corinth the first time for more than a year, and he says, I had one message, and that's Christ and Him crucified. Now, you go, for over a year? That's because there's a whole lot more in that message than we've ever heard. Our identification, understanding why he did that, why he went through the crucifixion, the burial, the resurrection, that's got everything to do with Ephesians. It's got everything to do with us understanding who we are now and why stuff happens when you pray. Amen. Why things happen when you use the name of Jesus. Why you really can walk free from sin, free from sickness, free from fear, free from torment. But it takes faith. Faith releases it. God, that's an, did you get it? Jesus died for the believer and the unbeliever alike. But it's when you believe, there's something that releases the power of the Holy Ghost. When you choose to believe it, then and only then. And that Holy Spirit, He can be just, so we're talking about Genesis part 2, really. Genesis, the sequel. Might be the title, that's a good, Genesis, the sequel. Because what God is doing, this is a do-over. He's regenerated a new species of human. He's doing it through one man, like He talked about doing it through Moses. He did it through Jesus Christ. And it's a new species. And guess what? God's plan has not really changed from the original one. What did He say? I think I wrote it down. Go to Genesis. Go to Genesis. I always teasing about go to Genesis, but really go this time. Some days we hardly read any scripture. Some days we do a lot. That's okay. Genesis 1:28. See? Genesis 1:28. Everybody knows it. I want you to see it again. You probably haven't heard it in a while. This is Adam and Eve, which God called, even though Eve had her own name, He called the species Adam. Which, you know, Adam is just the Hebrew word for man. It's just a Hebrew word for man. So He called them man. It's like mankind. Okay? But God blessed them. Genesis 1:28. God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. I could preach right there, but let's go on. And have dominion over the fish of the sea, okay. And over the fowl of the air, okay. Now notice this one. And over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Say out loud, every living thing. Go to Genesis 3:1. It says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. Question. Is the serpent a living thing? Is it moving upon the face of the earth? See, even when in the book of Job, when Satan appeared before the Lord, he said, where have you been? He said, been in the earth and walking up and down in it. Moving. A living thing. Back up to Genesis 1:28. Dominion over not only the fowls of the air and the fish of the sea. Have dominion over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Now in Genesis 3 you'll find out, it took me years to see it. We tend to get a picture in our mind that while that serpent is talking with Eve, Adam was not in the picture. But later on, once she partakes of the fruit, whatever it was, it says she turned and gave to her husband with her. He was standing right there. He heard every word. And he had already been assigned by God, have dominion over every living thing. Would that include the serpent? Why in the world? He did not speak in the name of his God. He said, I have been given dominion. Shut up. Get out of my garden. Or you might say, get out of God's garden. Now see, we got to understand, originally, mankind, let's say Adam and Eve, but mankind, because we were all in their loins, mankind was God's agent upon the earth. You could have asked Adam, what is your job description? I says, well, my father has sent me here. And by the way, if you don't think God was his father, read Luke's account of the begets. It goes all the way back to Adam, the son of God. Okay? Adam had no father but God. Fair enough? All right? He says, well, if you want my job description is, my father has assigned me here as his agent upon the earth. It's my job to make sure his kingdom rules here, his will is done here, just like it is in heaven, so here. That's my job. I have dominion. And I'm supposed to subdue anything that rebels against my father's kingdom. Does this sound like anybody you've ever heard of? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you know. Well, if we see any one human that comes to have dominion again upon the earth. Don't turn to this one. We just got too many verses today, but you can look it up later. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, it says, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. How about Acts 10:38? You know that one so well. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. It's God the Holy Ghost. Now, right now we should go back. Let's go back to Ephesians 2 for a minute. See, because what God has done now, it's a do-over, all right. It's Genesis, the sequel. It really is. He is generating a new species, just like he started off with Adam, and he says, now you go make this species that has dominion. Of course, Adam fell, and he made a species that had no dominion. So here comes the last Adam, the second man, Jesus Christ, who the whole species of Adam died in him. Then he's raised from the dead and he tells his followers, which would be us, he says, all authority has been given unto me, both in heaven and in earth. Therefore, you go. We're supposed to be going and doing what? Father, how did he tell us to pray? Just like the first Adam. My Father's kingdom is to come. His will is to be done. If I find anything in rebellion in the earth, I am to subdue it and have dominion over it in the name of Jesus. It's a new species, and I'll tell you right now the problem. We flat don't believe it. We flat don't believe it. I didn't say we didn't have head knowledge of it. I said we don't believe it. And this is where we're going to get into Abraham here. The steps of the faith of our father Abraham. You can't get past it. Ephesians. Here we go. Ephesians, see. Chapter 2. We can't get away from this. Look at verses 5 and 6 again. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. We're going to have to go a little more than that. Back up a little bit and quickened us together. Gary, how long are you going to be doing this till we're walking that highway, not talking about that highway? See, we just read that. Quickened us together with Christ. Hallelujah. Raised us up together. Made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now seated where? If we used to back up to verse 21 of chapter 1, we're seated just like him, far above, there it is again, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. We read it, we have head knowledge of it, we teach 100 messages on it. Then when it's your time and it's your relative, they've called you to the hospital and they've said it's terminal, there's no hope, there's nothing we can do. Well, it's your turn to pray. You call for Pastor Dave, can't get through. He'd come, but I'm just saying, you know. It's your turn. Quit looking around. It's your turn. You're seated with him. Quickened with him. Raised up with him. Far above. Your turn. Suddenly that head knowledge seems far away. Said, Gary should have taught 200 messages on Ephesians. I should have prayed twice as much. But see, this word isn't going to change, is it? What he's done is not going to change. We are going to change. We're going to walk this highway. Where when we walk in the room, it's cancer's knees that starts knocking. The devil start quaking in their boots. I told you Ephesians is the New Testament parallel to Joshua. Joshua is not a book about the people huddled down in the wilderness praying the devil wouldn't attack them. Joshua is where they come to take the land away from the devil. This land is my land. God gave it to me. He gave me dominion over it, and you are leaving. Hallelujah now. Well, quickened us together. Now back up a little bit. Chapter 1. Part of the prayer that Paul prays for us about our eyes of our understanding being enlightened. Verse 19. The verse after that. What is the exceeding? He wants us to know. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward? Here it is again. Who believe? Well, what would that power be measured by? It is according. That's an accounting term. It's identical to. It is the same. To the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, not just when he raised him from the dead, but also as he set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. We read that and go, Gary, I know that. I know that. I know that. Mm-hmm. Me too. What if I say it a different way? What if I said it like this? Jesus didn't receive 1 ounce more life than you did. Was that rocks I see coming? Prophet rocks? What? What? No, he said it's according to the same measure. He didn't get quickened to new life in some different measure, then you got quickened to new life. See, let's do the reverse. It'll help you understand it. When Jesus was made to be sin, when he allowed his spirit to be regenerated in reverse and go from life to death, and he literally became the snake, he became the serpent, he became the sin, would you say that he only barely did it, or you think he fully did it? He fully did it. He had to. If he's going to die for the whole species of Adam, he had to fully partake. He had to taste death for every man. You got that? He fully partook. He allowed his spirit to be regenerated in reverse, and he tasted the depths of depravity in his spirit. You hesitate, don't you? You go, no, no, no. Yes, he did too. Tasted death for every man. Paid the full price. But then when God spoke to him, like it says in the second Psalm, the day he was quickened from death to life, this Thou art my son. This day. What day? It tells you in the book of Acts. The day he was raised from the dead. This day have I begotten thee. And his spirit for the first time any human spirit went from death to life. And we see that fully manifested. He was quickened and he was raised and he was set beside God. And we go, hallelujah. And we sing all these songs and Savior, you can move the mountain. And I love that song too. I think it's pretty. But see, that leaves out the rest of the gospel. Because he's up there going, Christian, in my name, you can move the mountain. You can move the mountain. Because it says we were quickened together. He didn't get anything we didn't get. In the same way he partook fully of our sin, he's calling on us to believe this, that we partake fully of his nature. We've been quickened. It's according to the same measure of power. How great is that power? Well, how great was it in him? Yeah, but he's Jesus. You're in him. You were in Adam, right? How much hell were you going to get? Well, I was just going to get just a little hell. Actually, I was a pretty good person, actually. It's going to be a little tropical. I kind of see it with palm trees, maybe. You know, a little warm, but not too bad, because I was better than some of these people. Just think of some of these people. So, my idea of hell was, you're going to get it. You're going to get hell. Why? Because of who you are. What you are. You could not get separated. The only ones who had a shot at all was those like Abraham and all those who believed in the coming Messiah. They couldn't be quickened. So God put them in a holding tank, if you'll allow them. But it's a very pleasant holding tank called Abraham's bosom. Kept them there until Jesus could come and preach the gospel to them, and then they could be quickened to new life and go on to be with the Father, see? But if for everybody else, it's hell. And not a little, kind of warm place. How much hell were you going to get? All of it. How much of your inheritance are you going to get? All of it. All of it. It's Genesis, the sequel. I'm telling you. For years I've called it our Genesis. Because it starts off with in the beginning. And I knew, but now it's meaning so much more to me than it ever did before. I knew it had to do with the new Genesis. The beginning of a new heaven and earth. Which really is going to culminate really in a new heaven and earth before it's over. But now I'm really understanding it's exactly what he talked to Moses about. Jesus, you obey me. You always obey me. You are my son. What I couldn't do through Moses, I'm going to do through you. In you, this whole rebellious people, all the sons of Adam, all of them, I'm going to kill them all. My wrath will wax hot against them. And in you, that whole species will die. Then from you, I'm going to make a new nation. I'm going to make a new species. See? Now back up. Can you tell I love this? All right. Go back to Galatians again. I had to write down all these. I know roughly where they are, but I know you'll get tired of going and turn to Galatians somewhere. Now, Galatians chapter 3 again. Sometimes he lets me do this. Let's look at the verses after that, Galatians 3:26. Because it says, for you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Now, that should mean a lot more to you, now that we've been teaching on this. How many of you know you're not? When it says children of God, it means literally. You're no longer a child of Adam. You got that? You're a new species created in Christ Jesus. All right? And it says, for you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. That's why. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you be Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and the heirs according to the promise. You got that? So it comes back to that illustration I did during the conference again. I had Alan come up, and he represented Adam here. So he's the fallen Adam. Then in front of him we put a row of chairs, and that represents the first generation. Everybody, it doesn't matter what color you are, what shape your eyes are, every generation. Because every generation, really, if you trace them all back, they were in the loins of Adam, all of them. Every human. Everybody. So then we came on down and we had a generation where God made a covenant with a certain group. That's the seed of Abraham. Made covenant with them, separated them from the rest of the world by the law. But still, and you could be a publican or a Pharisee. Remember the last lesson or two? Publican or a Pharisee. One's doing his best to keep the law, and the other one, he don't really care. He's after your money. But both of them, the truth of it is, if they just look back to their beginning, they listen to who they're going to see standing back here. They're going to see Adam. Or not Alan, they're going to see Adam. they're going to see Adam back here, and they go, we're lost. We're undone. We're a species of sinners, and there's nothing we can do. The Pharisee, if he really becomes honest with himself, he needs to join in the same prayer with the publican. Because no matter what I do, no matter how many righteous works I do, no matter how much money I give, no matter how much I fast, no matter what I do, there's nothing I can do that can separate me from the death that I received from Adam. That's why Jesus told Nicodemus, Nicodemus, you're asking how I'm doing these things that I'm doing, you're asking? So he starts trying to explain, and Nicodemus goes, what? Basically, what? And he says, I'm trying to explain to you using earthly language, and you're asking me about heavenly things. Nicodemus, you have no capacity to understand. If you want to understand me and where I'm from and how I'm doing this, Nicodemus, you have to be born again. What? What? You got to be born of the Spirit. You got to be born of the Spirit. So that's exactly what Jesus has done for us. The whole species of man lost and undone. So God does through Jesus what he's talked about to Moses. God didn't lose his temper back there. He was preaching the gospel. He really was. He was a type and a shadow of what he was going to do through Christ. So in Christ, that whole species of Adam. That's why you'll find all those verses. If you're Christ, what does Paul say? I am crucified with Christ. He didn't crawl up on a cross and literally be crucified himself. No, he says, I have been crucified with Christ. I am dead to the world. Can you imagine? Here, Saul, we went through this one the last time or two. I don't plan these sequentially, but it's amazing how they work out that way. Here's Saul, the Pharisee of the Pharisees. Pedigree, Hebrew of the Hebrews, circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Benjamin. I mean, he had all the other Pharisees probably, all the other ones that went. Well, the Pharisees, they're the standard for righteousness. And of them, Saul is the standard of the standard. When he became a Christian, can you imagine what his reputation was like in those circles? When he says, I am crucified to the world, he means literally in every way, I die. That's it. I'm walking away from all that. I count all that but dung that I may know him. And all my life now, I'm not even of that species anymore. I'm in the kingdom of light now because Jesus did for me what all my righteous works could not. His work separated me from the death that was in Adam. Now I have been given a new life, and that life is, when I look backwards, when I look back now, who do I see? Jesus and him alone. You only go back one generation, and your seed is righteous, and the seed that's in you is righteous, and he put a righteousness generator on the inside of you, and you have to believe it. Let's look at the faith of Abraham. Because it is said of Abraham also, and you can find it in several places. One of the places, just look at it before we leave Galatians. Galatians 3:6 just says real plainly, even as Abraham believed God. What did Abraham do? Abraham believed God. And it was accounted to him for righteousness. Dave, I'm not going to reteach it. Well, I will quickly. Dave taught it perfectly. Here's Abraham in his day, generations before the cross. He couldn't be regenerated. Yet he was possessing the land. Here comes the devil. This is my land. I got it from Adam. How dare you be trespassing on my land? What gives you the right? What gives you the right to come and take possession in my land? Abraham starts going through his wallet. American Express, no. Visa, no. What is that? Carte Blanche, no. Ah, Master Charge Car. One day the Master is coming. He is righteousness itself. And when he comes, he's going to give all of his righteousness to me. Here, devil, just charge it to the Master. God, Dave, that was a Picasso. That was a Rembrandt. He's sitting over there. All he could have was accounted righteousness. And you know he had to believe that? It says Abraham believed. How about more than once he believed God? How about when God says, offer your son on the altar? Now, Abraham, you can read about it in Hebrews. He had to think that through. You know, most of us would have just run like a scalded dog. You know, but Abraham, he thought it through because he says, now, he's already said that my seed is coming through that boy, not through some other one. He says, in Isaac shall thy seed be counted. So now he's already said that my lineage, my physical seed, is going to come through him, and he hasn't had any children yet. Yet God is telling me to offer him as a sacrifice and kill him. Now, Abraham thought it through because he's going, God can't lie. So if God's telling me to do that, there's only one conclusion. God's going to have to raise him from the dead. He thought it through. He believed God who quickens the dead, said in Romans 4. Abraham believed God who quickens the dead, before him whom he believed, even God who quickens the dead and calls those things which be not as though they were. Well, God, I'm going to obey you. I believe you. I'm going to act on this, even though in the natural, every circumstance, that looks opposite to your plan. But that's what you said do. So I'm going to do it, and I'm trusting you. You're going to have to raise my boy from the dead. And that's really all God was after. He used Abraham's faith to raise his boy from the dead. He made covenant with that very man. What man? The man who had faith that God would raise his son from the dead. He says, I'm going to use that faith to raise my son from the dead. Glory to God. In the earth, raise his son from the dead. Talk about somebody believing God. Abraham believed God. Now, we're getting right down to it. See, this ties with that statement I said earlier. It's not the act of Jesus, really. Not really. The act alone. Now, he did that act for the believer and the non-believer alike. But the regenerated power, the literal power of the Holy Ghost, that literal resurging, regenerating power is only activated by faith. When you believe it, only when you believe. You may have heard it 20 times. I did. I heard it probably 120 times. I don't know how many times I heard the gospel. Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. You hear it and you hear it and you hear it. And does that change you? No. It's one day when you act on it. Faith. There is something about faith when you act on it. And the power of the Holy Ghost was hovering over you that whole time. It's just like Genesis 1 again. He's there hovering. You're a dark place before you get saved. There's darkness covering the face of the deep, if you'll allow me. And the Holy Spirit is brooding there. He's hovering all around you. He wants you to be saved. And you're hearing the gospel again, and there's the Holy Ghost. And he's going, maybe this time. Maybe I'm looking for that spark of faith. I'm looking. They're hearing it. They're hearing it. But I'm looking for that faith. If I can find that faith, I can do it. Suddenly you go, I believe. Whew. And I mean, when that moment, we don't even realize it. But it is the same power that generates your spirit from death to life, no less than what happened to Jesus when he was quickened to new life in hell. Yes. It's the same life. You didn't get something less. It says it's according to the power, the same quickening power when he quickened Jesus from death to life. Yes. You hear it, don't you? Uh-huh. Yeah, right now it's great. Then it's going to be your turn alone in a room with somebody with cancer. I'm just using that because that's a tough case, okay? Or we'll fly you to, how about this? We'll fly you to New York, put you in the room with Tommy Perez. Tommy Perez. I love Tommy. Tommy's in his 30s, got cerebral palsy. You'd love him too if he's around him. He's trapped in that little body of his. Can't get out of it. He loves you. He's glad to have visitors come. He's so excited. You can see the love and joy in his eyes. Oh, you come to see me. You know, I mean, he can't talk. He'll take your hand and he'll just touch your hand to his teeth. That's the only way he can kiss. That's the way he'll kiss you. And you look in those eyes and you know he's in there. Trapped in a body that won't work. Trapped by the devil. Can I say it that way? Will you allow me to say it that way? There was no cerebral palsy. Father, thy kingdom come. Father, thy will be done. There was no cerebral palsy in the garden before the fall. And we all go, if Jesus walked in there, boy, Tommy's getting out. When you walked in there, you are his body. See? And I'm using it because I've already failed that test. I'm looking forward to taking it again. You with me? God, that's just one of many. There's many other faces, hopeless cases. Here's Tommy right here, I think. And I put my glasses on and I lost him. Anyway, he's on there somewhere. Here's Victoria. Here's right here in our church. Okay, Tommy. Okay, here's Victoria. Right here in our church. Born maimed. Part of her brain was not. She's born without part of her brain. Well, what do we know about the maimed? The maimed are made whole. You think that's a hard matter for our creation? Genesis, the sequel? You think that's a difficult matter for God? Oh, brain, I thought you were going to ask for something hard. New brain. Heaven has a spare parts department. Gotta get that. You need something? Trust me. It's there. It's there. You can have it. Yes, sir. Still got to do the believing God. Wow. Okay, Galatians. Abraham believed God. Now, go to Romans 4. We'll just touch on this today. Done it many times before, but never quite in this context. Romans 4. The faith of Abraham. See, it says in Galatians 3:6, even as Abraham believed God. See, we're supposed to believe God. Everything that I'm saying has got to go from head knowledge to heart faith. Do you know that happened with Abraham? How do we know it happened? Because they believed God to the point that faith was released that allowed the Holy Spirit to regenerate their bodies from being dead to producing life to being productive again. It's like the limb, the staff. They were like two dead staffs, but they blossomed again and bore fruit. Well, faith had to be activated. Faith had to be in place for the Holy Spirit to be able to do that. So we look at the faith of Abraham. And right here, starting in verse 17, Romans 4:17. And just barely touch on it again today. See, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God who quickens the dead and calls those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Now here we are, church. Being not weak in faith, he considered not his own life, which looks so unlike Jesus. He considered not his own failings and his own history and all of the times he's failed God in the past. He was not even willing to consider the deadness of the church he attends. No, I'm teasing her. Well, that's our mission. The dead messages you've ever heard in your life and the times you've seen people pray and it didn't work, we've faced those too. Thank God for the times we have success. I'm tired of losing them. Not going to stagger because I've seen people pray and it not happen. I've prayed too and it didn't happen. I've also prayed when it did. But against hope, we're going to believe in hope. Where are we going to get that hope from? This year, Ephesians. We've got a new vision. We're a new species. You're part of a do-over. It is Genesis, the sequel. And you're part of it. You're a new creature. Being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Church, we're going to stagger not. Stagger not at the promise of God through unbelief. But we're strong in faith, giving glory to God. As these new creatures, whatever he said about us, stand there like Abraham and say, God, I believe you. No matter how I look, no matter how I act, no matter what I feel like, no matter what my emotions say, no matter what other preachers say, what you have promised, you are well able to perform it. I am your child. I am your righteousness of God in Christ, and I have dominion over every living thing. In the name of Jesus. Father, your kingdom come. Your will be done everywhere I go. In Jesus' name.